Call the meeting to order and good morning to everybody. We have a quorum present, so just like in committee, Laura, our clerk, will take attendance. And we have our next order of business will be the minutes and Representative Olson, do you have a motion?
I do, Mr. Chair. I move the adoption of the minutes from April 13th, 2020.
Okay, and just like establishing the quorum, in the past, we were told that we would have a roll call for approval of the minutes. And that has changed now, so we can do a voice vote. So I'll have to have all of you taken off of mute, and then we'll call for discussion on the minutes and then a roll call or a vote. So any discussion on the Olson motion to approve the minutes? Okay, seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. The minutes are approved. We have three bills up today, and the first bill before us is House File 3391 by Representative Moeller, dealing with guardianship and conservatorship provisions. Welcome, Representative Moeller, to the committee. And Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 3391, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, that motion is before us. And that one came to us via floor action, so that does not require the adoption of a division report. So there are no amendments. Representative Moeller, would you care to present the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3391 is really a collaboration that took place over a couple of years of a coalition of attorneys, advocates, excuse me, I have morning voice still, guardians, and many other stakeholders gathered to closely examine Minnesota's guardianship and conservatorship laws with the goal of modernizing them. The bill incorporates the comprehensive recommendations from that coalition while building on many recommendations from the Uniform Law Commission's 2017 updated model guardianship law. This bill seeks to reduce unnecessary guardianships and conservatorships, promote less restrictive alternatives, and clarify multiple parts of the law that conflict with current best practices. When we heard this bill in the Judiciary Committee, we had very powerful testimony by people who are directly impacted by our state's current outdated guardianship laws. I'm not going to go into more detail on the bill because I know you're interested in the fiscal aspect of it. Initially, this bill carried a small fiscal note, but it was revised, and it's my understanding that that amount is going to be absorbed by the courts. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I don't have any other comments to make. I do have a testifier who can answer questions if I need his assistance on that.
Okay, and that's the main point, is that there's no longer a fiscal cost. Any discussion on the motion or on the bill? Trying to see if I can find the hands that may or may not have gone up. For some reason, they're not. Here we go. Okay, no indication of any questions. So Representative Olson, would you care to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 3391, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, and any further discussion? Seeing none, then this is one where we'll have to take the roll. So if Laura, our clerk, would take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Garofalo?
Aye.
Representative Albright?
Aye.
Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Representative Davids?
Aye.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski? Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Representative Hertaus? Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Representative Kreshta?
Aye.
Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Representative Long?
Aye.
Representative Mariani? Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Representative Neuer?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Representative Schumacher? Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
24 ayes, 0 nays.
Garofalo votes aye. My apologies.
26, excuse me.
Okay, has everybody voted that wants to vote? I think we got everybody. Okay, the motion prevails and it's on its way to the general register. We have the next bill is by Representative Edelson, and that is House File 1914. This is another bill that is before us, but it doesn't have any cost. So if Representative Olson would care to make a motion, and then we'll welcome him. I assume Representative Edelson is present. I didn't notice with all these. Is Representative Edelson
present? Here, I'm present.
Oh, okay. Welcome, by the way. And so Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move the Health and Human Services Finance Division report for House File 1914.
Well, you know, members, this one came to us through the what I'll describe as the old procedure and was referred to division by memo. And so if you'll recall, I said in the past that the bill goes out the way it came in. And so that's why we're going to adopt the division report. So any discussion on the division report? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify, or we've got to unmute everybody. Nancy, are we unmuted?
You should be unmuted.
Okay.
I'm literally.
Okay, all those in favor of the adoption of the division report signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, Representative Edelson, would you care to present the bill? There are no amendments.
Sure, so yeah, and I apologize right now, my kids are back and forth, so I'm trying to keep them out of here for just a minute. House File 1914 is an advanced practice registered nurse cleanup bill of statutes. The APRNs have been working on this bill for well over a year. I know that. I think it's been 2 years around the legislature. So this bill is a result of lots of time and effort. Stakeholders are in agreement. There is no fiscal cost. It's been vetted by HHS policy as well as HHS finance. Our hope is to get this passed this year. And really, I have nothing else to offer. I do have Brian Goodroad here as well on the call if members have any questions.
Okay, and Representative Olson, we need to have you move the bill. So if you would move the bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that House File 1914 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, seeing none then, Laura, are you ready to take the roll?
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Garofalo.
Aye.
Representative Albright.
Aye.
Representative Bernardi.
Aye.
Representative Davids.
Aye.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Representative Eklund.
Aye.
Representative Hamilton.
Aye.
Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Hausman.
Aye.
Representative Hertas. Representative Hornstein.
Aye.
Representative Kreisha.
Aye.
Representative Liebling.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
Aye.
Representative Long.
Aye.
Representative Mariani. Representative Marquardt.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Neuer.
Aye.
Representative Pawlowski.
Aye.
Representative Poppy.
Aye.
Representative Schumacher.
Aye.
Representative Scott.
Aye.
Representative Torkelson.
Aye.
Representative Vogel.
Aye.
Representative Lugenius.
Aye.
27 ayes, 0 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails. Any further discussion? Okay, the motion carried and it goes on to the general orders. So we'll now take up another bill by Representative Edelson dealing with tobacco. And this is a bill that's been to HHS Policy, Commerce, Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law. It initially had a $30,000 cost, but I understand that that has now been removed. So the bill, as it would leave Ways and Means, would have no cost. And I understand either Mr. Marks or Doug Berg can answer any questions as to why there now is no cost, even though initially they said $30,000. So Representative Edelson will have to adopt the division report first. So Representative Olson.
I move the Health and Human Services Finance Division report for House File 331.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Now the amendment, or first of all, we need to move the bill. Representative Olson.
I move House File 331 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register.
And we do have an amendment, and that $30,000 that I was explaining will be removed as a result of the amendment. So, Mr. Berg or Mr. Marks, would you care to comment about the fiscal note?
Chair, I can actually explain it if you don't mind.
Oh, okay, that's fine. We had them, our fiscal people present. They would be here.
Oh, okay.
Either way. You know, they'd be here either way, so go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. The A15 removes the reporting requirements we were going to compile of essentially retailers that were selling to youth. Right now, with the growing budget constraints, I felt also in the fact that this would not be catching all online sales, that report, I felt like this would be, it would be a time to take that report out. $30,000 is a PCA salary at this point. So I think it's really important to be very fiscally conscious about about the state's budget. So we are taking that out. I do hope with that, though, that we can get this passed this year. This has been many iterations through the legislature for 3 years. This is no cost, but there is a cost if we do not pass Tobacco 21 this year. Thank you.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I think I need to move the amendment.
Oh, we haven't moved it yet. That's right. No. Okay, Rep. Wilson.
I'll move the A15 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. The amendment is adopted, and now there is no cost. Okay, and Representative Edelson, any further comments?
No, Chair, I just hope to have member support.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Olson, care to renew your motion?
No.
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 331 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Mr. Okay. Chair, Representative Garofalo has a question.
Okay, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the author. If this bill does not pass, what are the consequences of that?
Edelson.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Garofalo. Right now, what we're hearing from law enforcement in numerous different communities, actually Representative Moeller have reached out, is that several, so this was passed back in December. The president signed this into law. Many are saying retailers, what law enforcement are hearing, that they do not have to comply until it's a state law. So there's some confusion with that. We also, in this bill, address youth penalties. So we also increase fines. So I don't think it's appropriate to, what this bill does is making sure that we don't penalize kids for being targeted by a big tobacco industry. So that's the real piece about this bill that I really like to draw members' attention to. So if we don't have that, that could be problematic. It also, let's see, the bill also updates the state compliance check requirements to include 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. Let's see, what else? It also mentions clear signage and ID checks, and really, those are the big things that you're going to get out of this bill.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and to the author of the bill, Representative Edelson, are we seeing problems with retailers selling tobacco products still in violation of federal law?
Chair, Representative Garofalo, we don't have state reports on that, so it's actually tracked community by community. Which is why we wanted to do that initial report, to really be able to have a state view of how that looks. My understanding from reports is it does still happen, but we also have that loophole of students being able to buy, purchase online, that we are having a difficult time with addressing. But my understanding is it does still happen, yes. And this bill would help clarify so that retailers know that Tobacco 21 actually applies to our state and all retailers.
Representative Garofalo, is that it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm just wondering, what happens to a 20-year-old right now that is already using tobacco products? It's now illegal. It would now be illegal for them to use those products. Is that correct?
Representative Edelson.
Representative, technically right now with the president's order, yes, it already, they can't purchase them anywhere in the United States, or they're not supposed to be able to with the Tobacco 21 law that was signed into effect. But this would help make sure that we don't actually criminalize kids, because if for instance, they were with it. So, but yes, I mean, that's exactly what this does. Mm-hmm. And we do have a cessation programs for youth, but we know, I mean, especially now with this pandemic, even a fold, we know that smoking is not good for the developing brain. We know it's not good for your respiratory system. So really, this is trying to protect our youth from a predatory tobacco industry.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, do other states have penalties for kids that are, I mean, there are penalties for kids if they're drinking, underage drinking. There's penalty for kids, I'm assuming, in other states if they're smoking illegally. I'm wondering if the bill's author could address that.
Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, so I work a lot on public safety, actually. I mean, I know you. We've had some crossover on judiciary, Representative. I think that other states do, but we also know that other states also have alternatives to punitive punishments like that. So alternative methods, addiction, penalizing a kid for being targeted, criminalizing them so that they have a record, so that kid internalizes being bad when really they were targeted by an industry, I would say doesn't help solve any problem. I think providing opportunities for that youth to really get help, not feel like a bad kid, is really important. The worst thing we could do is write a bunch of violations for a kid, throw him in lockup, and then hope that, when he gets out, he's not going to be addicted. I just don't think that's going to help anybody. So I think here in Minnesota, we need to march to the beat of our own drum. And I think that we are realizing that alternatives to some of these harsh penalties are really needed, and they work.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it concerns me that we're not holding the kid themselves accountable, and maybe you don't hold them accountable on the first time that they're caught with as an underage person consuming a tobacco product. But I think in the future, I think it's really good for kids to hold them accountable for the actions, for their choices, because that's what real life is holding them accountable. And we're not talking about throwing people in jail for this. It's some other sort of a penalty that would be meaningful and cause them to not do it in the future. But we're not going to be throwing 18-year-olds in jail for smoking a cigarette or for vaping. So those are my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair, just to address that, the bill does actually in subdivision 2A talk about alternative penalties. So there are penalties that would actually make sense in the scenario where law enforcement can actually deal with creating alternative penalties. I think that those are creative ways to deal with it. I agree with you. We don't want to not address it, but we want to be more of a supportive role and to help them. Campaigns throughout the state of Minnesota have been very successful in just educating youth on how they've been targeted by an industry really unchecked. And so I hear you, Representative Scott. So thank you for your notes. It is, we do have alternative penalties in the bill.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, so you said you have been hearing reports. What does that mean? Are those anecdotal things? Are those emails? What's the sample size of these reports that you're hearing?
Thank you, Chair. Representative Kreisha, I think I have Molly Moylanen on the call. I'm looking for her. Yes, Molly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Maybe you could speak to the representative's question.
Absolutely. Mr. Chair?
If you could identify yourself for the record.
Absolutely. Molly Moylan with Clearway, Minnesota, and thanks for the question. At this point, the federal government passed the federal tobacco 21 age at the end of December, and it immediately went into effect. And in January and February, we were hearing anecdotally from law enforcement and from local units that do compliance throughout the state that there was confusion and that there was violation. But we don't have that tabulated, and it's not something that we track at a state level. And so we can't clarify how many that is. But we have been asked by local law enforcement, retailers, to have consistency with local, state, and federal age requirement. So there's one consistent age for the tobacco age so that there is no confusion, and then it just really clarifies that the age is indeed now 21. 70 communities in Minnesota have passed local tobacco 21 ordinances. And in the vast majority of the cases, they have removed the penalties and they've aligned with both this bill and the federal law as well. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Yes, I do have some follow-ups, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so the test fire, so now we've established they're anecdotal. How many? What's the quantifiable anecdotals that we had? Is this less than 20? What's the number? How many are we hearing from?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for the question, Representative Grisha. And I don't have any quantifiable data that says how many across each community, because they are not reported up. We're hearing from multiple communities that they're having issues with some real retailers that haven't received the notice. But we don't have state level reporting data. You'd have to go to each local unit of government that does the local licensing and that is responsible for the local compliance. So that's the situation where we've heard about it. And again, we would link the state age to comply and to conform with the federal age.
I think it's important that each time a person speaks that they identify themselves, even if they've done it earlier. I assume that was Molly Moylan.
That's right. Molly Moylan in from Clearway, Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We should, with this technology, we have to make sure we try as best we can to keep a clear record. Representative Krisha.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And so just a couple more follow-ups. So, okay, so we've established that we've had some people talking about this. I understand that. It's not quantifiable. We don't really know how big the problem is, so we're about to make state policy on that. And to the bill author, so what we removed with the $30,000 was the report that would actually get us to those answers. Is that correct?
Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Krisha, yes, we removed that report. But I would also just say that we knew going into this that would help with retailers. But again, with the current climate of what we're going to be facing next session, I think it's really important to be cautious about what we're spending. And so that report, though, would also not include online retailers. So it wasn't perfect, but it was going to be a starting place that would have been helpful to collect all that locality data and put it into one report for the state.
All right. And so no more follow-up, Mr. Chair. I'll just make my comments based on that. So if that's okay.
Yes, that's fine.
So thank you. So what we have, so this is very interesting. We have no data. We have no science about whether or not the size of what this bill is actually going to have effects. That's incredibly interesting. And we're not willing to go out and find it because obviously we have some spending issues and totally agree with that. And we're going to have to prioritize that we should look at those. But we already have federal legislation in place. And according to the testifier or to the testimony, what the real aim of this is to go after the tobacco companies and their efforts to target certain segments of the population. Whether we agree or disagree, obviously we can't write or nobody's willing to put legislation together to try to take away someone's ability to actually do that. So we are now creating policy that we have no science on that we're hoping is going to get to it and quite frankly is going to disproportionately affect the minorities as we've seen in other situations. We are going to be going after black markets and areas where we know the disproportionality of minorities are going to be incredibly affected by this. We've seen the ACLU come out and say that. So in the times that we have today, this is fine. If this is your election bill, good luck with that, but it's just bad policy and I'll vote no.
I would just remind people that committee members that we do obviously have discussion on the various bills before Ways and Means. But the reason that this bill initially came before us was that there was a cost. There is no longer a cost. So the main purpose of Ways and Means was taken care of with that amendment. But having said that, is there any further discussion? Representative Kreshaw, you are all done then?
Just a clarification of that. So to your point, Mr. Chair, if the cost was removed and we couldn't talk of the policy, shouldn't we refer this back to a policy committee to have that conversation?
I wasn't talking about that direction. I was just reminding members that we are fairly open with allowing discussion, but the main reason that the bill was here was the $30,000. But if people want to continue to discuss the policy, that's fine, but that's the purpose that the bill was presented to us. It's already been to several committees. Let's see, we have Representative Drazkowski.
Chair, can I just respond to that just one moment, though? The science behind whether or not this would be impactful is just incorrect to say there's no science. And so I think it's insulting to the Tobacco 21, like everybody that is organized around this, to the president who signed it. I mean, let's be honest, there is science around the negative impacts of vaping. So just want to make sure that we're clear on that one.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm reading the bill. Representative Edelson, you mentioned that the goal was to, it appears you said want to not hold the kids accountable. And I'm in the same lane of thinking that Representative Scott is. I'm certainly opposed to raising the age to begin with. But as we look at the bill, you are actually affecting 18, 19, and 20-year-olds in this bill and treating them like kids. So the alternative penalty, subdivision 2A, line 8.15, law enforcement and court system representatives shall consult as applicable with interested persons, including but not limited to parents, guardians, educators, and persons under the age of 21 years. Well, Representative Edelson, you're going to look up the parents, guardians, and educators of the 20-year-old who's going to say, you know, get lost, I'm an adult, leave me alone. And then the consequences are going to be give them tobacco-free education programs, community service and court diversion programs, and tobacco cessation programs. And we're going to remove from statute the actual consequences that were in there. In the past, they would get a petty misdemeanor, as I'm reading the bill and in the underlying law. I don't know that this is very well thought out. You're removing the consequences from the people you are directing in the bill no longer have the rights under law to use tobacco. So you're removing consequences from them, and I'm trying to read the rest of the bill too, but apparently giving more consequences to the person who sells it to them. I don't think this is going to be successful policy. And I think you need to think about the fact that 18, 19, and 20-year-olds are not kids. And there's other parts of the bill I read, too, that relate to your comments earlier that you're somehow protecting kids. These are adults. That's all I have, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Olson, would you care to renew your motion?
I renew my motion that House File
3390
be recommended to be placed on the general register.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay. The motion is before us, and this will take a roll call. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Laura, our clerk, will take the roll.
Yeah, I'm still nervous. I guess I think it'd be very, like,
I'm going to unmute all the microphones. Oh. Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Garofalo?
No.
Representative Albright?
No.
Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Representative Davids?
No.
Representative Daphne?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Representative Hertas?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Representative Long?
Aye.
Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Neuer?
Aye.
Representative Husky? Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Representative Schumacher?
No.
Representative Scott?
Nay.
Would you repeat that?
Nay.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Representative Vogel?
No.
Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
17 ayes, 11 nays.
Excuse me, I didn't hear.
17 ayes, 11 nays.
Okay. Motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the general register. We now have our next item on the agenda is an update on the federal funds by Mr. Marks. And we did finally just the other day get the guidelines from the Treasury Department. And so I've asked Mr. Marks if he could give us a brief update here this morning in terms of the federal funds. We knew what the amount was and where the general categories were, but we didn't know what the various ties would be, rules, if you as established by the Department of the Treasury. So Mr. Marks is prepared to give us an update. Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, members, and I believe there are two links in the committee materials. One is to the guidance, and then one is to some frequently asked questions. And what we've heard is that the frequently asked questions section, which had four questions and responses at this point, is going to be expanded as more questions come in. The guidance, and this is for the coronavirus relief fund, that general kind of pot of money that was included in the CARES bill, or I believe the third coronavirus bill that Congress acted on. The total was for Minnesota is $2,187,000,000. $317 million of that is going to Hennepin and Ramsey counties directly. And I believe we received information from MMB this morning that the state now has the other $1,870,000,000 in the state treasury. So the guidance, first of all, it repeats the sections or the language from the law, which said the money had to be used for expenses incurred due to the public health emergency, expenses that were not accounted for in the budget most recently approved by the state and were incurred during the period from March 1st to December 30th of 2020. The guidance then expands on a number of these items. Necessary expenditures due to the public health emergency, it just basically makes it clear that these are addressing medical or public health needs, as well as expenditures incurred to respond to second order effects of the emergency, such as providing economic support to those suffering from employment or business interruptions. It is also clear, though, that these funds may not be used to fill shortfalls in government revenue. So the revenue replacement is not one of the allowed uses of the funds. As far as the definition of the most recently approved budget, this has been clarified in the guidance, and the language here The most recently approved budget refers to the enacted budget for the relevant fiscal period for that particular government without taking into account subsequent supplemental appropriations enacted or other budgetary adjustments made by that government in response to the COVID public health emergency. So I think we're fairly comfortable that for the state of Minnesota, the most recently approved budget would be the budget approved in the 2019 legislative session for fiscal year 20. And so things that have been approved since then would not be part of the budget and would be eligible for reimbursement here. The guidance lists has a fairly long list of possible eligible expenditures and relate to expenses for hospitals, clinics, establishing temporary medical facilities, emergency medical responses, cost of providing testing, includes expenses for communication and enforcement. It includes expenses for acquisition and distribution of medical and protective supplies, expenses for disinfection of public areas and other facilities, technical assistance to local authorities, public safety measures, and expenses for quarantining individuals. And then it goes on to mention payroll expenses for public safety, public health, healthcare, health services, and similar employees whose services are substantially dedicated to mitigating or responding to the COVID public health emergency. It also goes into expenses of actions to facilitate compliance with the COVID-related public health measures. And this includes things like expenses for food deliveries, systems to residents, expenses to facilitate distance learning, expenses to improve telework capabilities, expenses of providing paid sick and paid family and medical leave to public employees, and then expenses of maintaining state prisons and county jails, expenses related to COVID, expenses for care for homeless populations to mitigate COVID effects, expenses associated with economic support, expenditures to provide grants to small businesses to reimburse the cost of business interruption, expenses for payroll support programs, and unemployment insurance related to the public health emergency. There are also some examples of ineligible expenses in here, but largely it's fairly flexible. The biggest component is that it cannot be used for revenue replacement. And as I mentioned, there's also the question and answers, which I won't go into, but we do expect that to be expanded. So happy to take any questions, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Marks, I have a question dealing with the reference in the guidelines to March 1st, and you referenced the 2019 budget. So would it be only those items that were expended after March 1st?
Mr. Chair, the language talks about expenditures that occurred after March 1st of 2020. So if Minnesota spent some money in February for something, that would not be eligible. But if it's after March 1st or after, it would be.
Yeah, well, that was my reading when you and I talked earlier, and I just wanted to clarify that. So a key date is March 1st then. Representative Pawlowski.
I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. My reference was to the roll call vote. During the roll call vote, the sound broke up. I could not hear my name. And when the roll call ended, I hit *9, but there was no response. So I was missed on the roll call, but primarily because the sound broke up, and I'm not sure why it did, but it did. I'm going to suggest that at the end of a roll call from this point on, that any member who hasn't voted, who obviously is in attendance, that you go back and ask, because apparently we are even having some sound issues. So I'm just noting that, and that I would have voted, and I would have voted aye for the bill, but I couldn't hear the roll call, at least in that part.
Representative Pawlowski, I understand your dilemma because the same thing happened to me in rules the other day. Exact same thing. What I will do, because I view it as my error, when we're done with Mr. Marks, I will make a motion that we reconsider the vote on House File 331. And if that passes, then I'll ask Representative Olson to move the bill again, and we'll take a second roll call and make sure you're included.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, that will make it very clear. Okay, Mr. Marks, we have Representative Scott next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Scott here. And just wondering, you know, we passed a bill a couple of weeks ago off the floor that had to do with workers' comp, and it was a policy bill. It didn't have any funding along with it. So I'm wondering if these federal dollars could be used to cover that bill. People that are first responders, people on the front lines, tapping into workers' comp.
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, I don't want to sound authoritative on this, but I think the way the guidance is written, I think it would, because it's going to involve healthcare essentially. So I think the funds could be available for that purpose.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what process will we be using to determine which funds are available for such a use and which ones aren't? I mean, will the governor get that guidance, or is it MMB that'll get the guidance on that so that we can affirmatively know one way or the other on those funds?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Scott, and first let me go back and raise a concern with my previous response. An example of ineligible expense is damages covered by insurance. So I don't know how that would affect the workers' comp issue as well. As far as how the decisions are made on this, that's an issue yet to be decided. I would expect that the governor is going to have some recommendations on this. I expect that the House and Senate may have some recommendations on this. There are a number of items that where appropriations were made in Chapter 71 and in Chapter 74, some previous COVID-related bills. A number of those expenses are probably eligible for reimbursement here, where we could replace general fund spending with funding. So I think there's probably a significant amount of discussion that needs to occur about where the money's going to go.
And I would say that we just got the guidelines just the other day, and I'm sure there will be discussion between administration, House, and Senate in terms of what those funds are used for and what the process will be. Representative Scott, were you?
I'm finished. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and Mr. Marks, can you remind members of the committee under current law what the legislature's role is in the and how these funds are dispersed and allocated?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, there is currently a statutory appropriation in Minnesota Statute Section 4.07 that the context of it is it directs allows the governor to direct state agencies to apply for federal funds, and then it appropriates those federal funds with review of the Legislative Advisory Commission. And there are several different possible procedures using the Legislative Advisory Commission. There's an urgent process, which is a 10-day review. There's a more standard process that's a 20-day review. But the Legislative Advisory Commission in this case is in the House. It's the Speaker of the House, the Ways and Means Committee Chair, and the Chair of the relevant Fiscal Committee. So if, for example, it was Department of Human Services spending, it would be the Chair of the Health and Human Services Finance Committee. And then three members from the Senate, the Majority Leader, the Senate Finance Chair, and the relevant Chair. Those six members of the Legislative Advisory Commission can request further information, They can make a negative or a positive recommendation, but ultimately it's legislative review. It's not legislative saying no, essentially.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Marks, so is it a fair characterization to say the legislature's role under current law with this disbursement of these funds is advisory in nature?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, yes, to some extent, but there's, for example, if we were going to replace some of the current appropriations that have already been made, that most likely takes legislation to do that. There's another part of this. The federal language on the coronavirus relief fund says that up to 45% may go to local governments. The $317 million that has gone to Hennepin and Ramsey counties is not is significantly less than 45%. So if more money was to go to local governments, that most likely takes legislation too. Not sure that there's a way for the governor to get that to local governments. So I think there will be a role for the legislature in this, but how much is yet to be determined.
And Mr. Chairman and Mr. Marks, thank you. And Mr. Marks, can you please remind the committee back in 2009, the ARRA funds, what was commonly referred to as the stimulus funds, were passed. And can you remind members of the committee how that authorization process for those funds was used?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, like with the current situation, there were a number of different pots of money, but with the AARA, there was I believe it was called a budget stimulus fund or appropriation. It was roughly $816 or $17 million. That money was deposited in an account in the federal fund, and the language in the law said the way it was created, it had to be directly appropriated. So that money was all, the money in that particular account was all appropriated in legislation. There were certain requirements that came with that money as well. And for example, that funding, state funding to higher education had to meet a level of one of three previous fiscal years, I believe, and a similar language that applied to elementary and secondary education. So much of that money went to higher ed and elementary secondary education. Some of it went for public safety spending as well.
And
I would just point out that we did include last week information on current law, if members want to revisit that some. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just repetition is a good thing. I know that, Mr. Chairman, I know you're familiar with the process that was used and that is currently in law, but I just thought this was a good opportunity for members of the committee to.
That's fine. I just, in case people wanted to explore it a little bit further, that information is available, but your questioning was just fine. Representative Garofalo, do you have any others?
I have no others. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I think that concludes the questions, Mr. Marks, and thank you. And I'm sure as we move forward, there'll be further questions of you on the federal funds, because it is a large sum of money. And we do have to make sure we spend it within those guidelines. So I indicated earlier, I would make a motion at this point that we reconsider House File 331, the tobacco-related bill. We had people didn't hear, a technical problem where Representative Pawlowski wanted to vote, and he wasn't able to get in to cast his vote. So that will be the purpose. If this motion passes, then we will have a motion by Representative Olson to pass the bill. So I move that we reconsider the vote, which 331 will pass. Any discussion, motion to reconsider?
We're going to feed where you do your business, the precautions that we want to take going forward. How do you do social distancing?
All those in favor.
Bye-bye. Take the temperature of people who walk in the door.
Great.
Rich people.
Somebody needs to mute. We're having some difficulty there. Okay, the motion to reconsider prevailed. Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 331 as amended be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, that motion is before us, and again, that's a roll call. The committee clerk will take the roll.
COVID cases on top of new cases.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Is testing ready?
Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Albright?
Oh, wait. My answer is no. I'm sorry. I thought we were on the motion to reconsider. I'm sorry. Please make me laugh.
Okay. Laura, did you get that change?
Yes. I have it recorded correctly.
Thank you. My apologies.
Right. Representative Albright?
No.
Representative Bernardi? Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Representative Davids?
Yes.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative Driskowski?
No.
Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Representative Hamilton? Representative Hamilton. Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Hausman.
Aye.
Representative Hertas.
Hertas votes aye.
Representative Hornstein.
Aye.
Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, no.
Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Representative Long?
Aye.
Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Noor?
Aye.
Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Representative Schumacher?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Torkelson?
No.
Representative Vogel?
No.
Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Okay, if you want to call anybody that didn't respond.
Representative Hamilton, not sure if he's. I believe that was it. So that is a vote of 20 ayes and 8 nays.
Okay, motion prevailed and it's on its way to general orders. We have two hands up, Representative Scott, before we adjourn.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that Representative Torkelson had to get off the line and take a call. So, you know, how will his vote be recorded since he voted the first time but was unable to the second time?
Both votes will appear in the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, I actually had the same question. It was actually Representative Hamilton that had to leave for another meeting and thought the voting was over at the time. So it's a little bit confusing, I think, for members when we had to revote. So I just hope it gets recorded properly.
Both those votes will appear in the minutes, including the motion to reconsider. I said it was my fault. It actually wasn't my fault. It was we had it. technology glitch, and we had a member that was trying to vote and he couldn't get through. We were trying to be fair, but we'll make sure, and we have to record every thing that we do in committee anyway, so both roll calls will appear, so they're covered one way or the other. But Pawlowski, Representative Pawlowski would not have been covered if we hadn't taken that second vote. So motion prevailed. We're about to adjourn. We meet again on Wednesday. And you'll notice on the agenda, several of the bills say pending referral. And we're down to kind of the wire, so to speak. We just have a few weeks remaining. And so it's fairly common that a committee, especially one that would be the last stop before a bill hits the House floor, will post the bill and then say pending referral. So if we don't get one of those bills, then obviously it would not appear on the agenda because it would not be in our possession. But we wanted to give members and members of the public a heads up as to what might appear on the agenda for the Ways and Means Committee if the other committees act favorably. So with that, meeting adjourned.